The kingdom of God, it's coming. The kingdom of God, it's coming. The kingdom of God, and I know. Amen, amen,
amen, amen.
Ani omer lecha.
Amen,
amen, amen. Ani omer lecha. שאם לא ייוולד אדם מן המים והרוח לא לא יוכל לבוא אל מלכות האלוהים לא לא יוכל לבוא אל מלכות האלוהים
השואה It is the Hebrew word for Holocaust, the Holocaust of World War II. Hashoah. It means burnt offering, a disaster, a catastrophe. I just want to put down a few random thoughts about the Holocaust because it's stirred up in me. I'm going to go somewhere with this. In 2000, I was in Colorado in a meeting in January, and it was a prayer meeting, and this woman was ministering on stage when the power of God came through the place, and the electrical equipment and technical equipment started going out. And she started saying in a frightened voice, fear came upon her, the very terror of the Lord, because the angel of the Lord had come in and taken her into a place in the spirit. And I myself was on the floor. Only several times in my life have I been in the holiness of God, where I was afraid to think that even my highest, most lofty, noble thought was beneath his lowest thought. That my DNA was absolutely undone in the presence of God, a holy God. And none of my righteousness, it was all filthy rags. The only thing that got me into his presence was the very blood of Yeshua. And this angel that was in the building and declared to this woman, and it came out of her mouth, what he was telling her, that he was the same angel that went through all the churches in Europe before World War II and the Holocaust came, warning them of the coming Holocaust. And this angel, and this was 12 years ago now, was going through the churches in the United States and the Americas, warning the churches of the coming Holocaust for Israel. The coming Holocaust. The coming Holocaust. What is so frightful in this time that we are living in is the absolute moral degeneracy of what's happening on a political level, where people's sexual personal lives are becoming politics. In a place where the very fact that you that it becomes a legal issue to make homosexuality acceptable makes a statement according to the scriptures in Romans where it states that every man, woman, and child is given a conscience by God to know right from wrong, left from right, black from white. And when men choose darkness and continue to do darkness and worship idols and the works of their own hands, they go into a state where the conscience becomes seared, and then they go into perversion, man with man, woman with woman. Unnatural relationships were never designed by God. Therefore, when a nation says it's acceptable for same-sex marriages, that nation no longer has a conscience. It is morally degenerate, and ethically corrupted. And what that means is that one no longer can say that's right or wrong, that you SS soldiers take that baby from its mother's hands and smash its head against the railroad irons on a railroad car, the wheels, and kill it. It's no longer wrong that you have abortions. This is a holocaust of the innocent blood that cries out. And it's no longer wrong if we take your money and make that available for other nations. It is a eugenics policy. And soon we will decide that because we have superior genes, we should be allowed to be the third breads of the earth and rule those who are to be ruled. And don't get me wrong. Every man, woman, and child will be judged according to their church, their choices, and their very positions that they take, whether for right or wrong, good or evil. Now, always it has been the game plan of the powers of darkness to destroy the seed of mankind, to destroy the Jews. It is a spiritual issue because of the hatred for God. The powers of darkness under Satan want to usurp the very throne of God. They want to destroy all human seed lines, especially the Jews, so that the Messiah cannot return, because the prophecies say distinctly the Messiah uses the Jews in the last days from every tribe to be an instrument for his purposes. Therefore, if Satan can destroy them, then he can take the whole bloodline and seed lines, and he can corrupt them, and he will annihilate the worship of the Almighty Living God of the universe. Therefore, he will make himself as God. He will put himself in that position and in that place that is God. Let me say that I am not for any kind of corruption. Even 2 months ago, when the Talmudic rulings in Jerusalem set the rules and regulations for ordaining homosexuals' marriages under the chuppah, an Orthodox tradition. That is not the Torah. That is not the commandments nor the teachings of the holy scriptures of God. Those are man's traditions that make null and void the word of God. Every person, according to the covenant and commandments of God, to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And this is summed up the whole law and the prophets. And in this hour where people are being arrested for making statements on Facebook, where people are being offed and assassinated for exposing corruption, let not good men think or women think that they will not be held accountable for not speaking up. All that it takes is for evil to triumph, is for good people to say nothing. Look, I saw them. This is Niemöller. Oh, they came for the socialists, they came for the communists, they came for this. And finally, and I didn't say anything, and finally they came for me, and there was no one to speak up for me. And there's Hashoah. There is, according to prophecies, another purging of sin and iniquity coming. And even in this rise of anti-Semitism, never seen things. Oh, the Khazari Jews were the Ashkenazis, and they came to Israel, and they're not really Jews, and the synagogue of Satan, and it's the bankers, and blah, blah, blah. This whole pack of lies. It's the same old rot reading. And people take it for truth. And they take texts. Oh, well, Bibi Netanyahu said this and da-da-da said that. And they take the very words that they were saying out of the context and the situation that they were stating. and twisted to mean something else that it was intended. It's all trick. Text out of context is pretext. Now, let me elaborate just a bit more here on the whole issue of homosexuality. I am not against people's private choices. That's not what I'm talking about. I love people. I love all people. The issue is that what you do in private, such as going to the restroom, or taking your bath, or your sexual practices in the closed doors of a bedroom, are not political issues. Once they have become a political issue, then it speaks of a level of political degeneration, a lack of morality in a decaying, decadent culture. I want to discuss the Holocaust and World War II. Per a conversation I had many years ago with a rabbi, and I spent this last a couple of days ago watching 5 documentaries by Steven Spielberg on Hoshoa put together in a DVD called Broken Silence, underwritten by the Hoshoa Foundation. And I wept and I cried and I wept. Well, how can people become so inhumane? How can ideas come so far to the forefront? And I've seen many documentaries on Hitler and the occultism and the degeneracy and the pink swastika, the homosexuality that was hidden in the SS, in the SS, excuse me. And all of this. Why? And yet we know there's Genghis Khan, there's Attila the Hun, there was Mao, there was Stalin, there's all kinds of brutal genocides throughout history. Why was World War II different? Because it was the first time that a racial genocide, was targeted as a final solution to totally eradicate them from human history. And why were the occult powers of darkness so intent on that? I've heard many Jews tell me, well, they couldn't believe in God because what about the Holocaust? Always I'm quick to say, the Holocaust was not God. It was by the hand of man. Don't blame God for what is meant. Nevertheless, God creates, it says in Isaiah 54, the destroyer to wreak havoc. He gives him permission. And in that furnace of affliction, just as Job's affliction, one is tested. Though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Why don't you just, Job's wife said, curse God and die? No. God has not done wrong. He is incapable of committing wrong. But he has his instruments. And man gives himself over to evil and to wickedness. Now, this begs the question. Every person's righteousness, says in Ezekiel, a man's righteousness, if he's righteous and he does evil, God will no longer remember any of the righteousness that he had done because the evil will negate it. But if he has been evil and turns to do righteously, then God will no longer remember the evil that that man committed. You will be called to account on a personal level for your choices. Step outside into the big system, the beast system, the powers that operate. Yeah. The war in the heavens. If God be for you, who can be against you? If you are not for God, the Lord, if you do not confess Jesus before men, he will not confess you before his Father in heaven. And who can make war against this beast, the Lamb? the Lamb and those who were called, chosen, and faithful. They make war against this beast. And every generation will be called to make their choices and choose this day whom you will serve. Oh, but Kathleen, one might say, some psychologist or negotiator, peacemaker. Well, it's not so simple as that. It's not so black and white and good and evil. When you are mediating and negotiating peaceful solutions and settlements, no, it's not so simple when you are confused. That's right. When you don't have a clear distinction and a clear conscience, then the waters are muddied and we no longer see the real issues. We are unable to perceive what is really going on. And there's no real truth. And there's no true reconciliation. True reconciliation only comes through the blood of Yeshua and the peace, the Prince of Peace. True reconciliation only comes through forgiveness and restitution in that process. The healing of the breaches and the restoration of the wounds. So there is a distinction, therefore, between those who are confused because their consciences are so compromised that and also peace accord is not that at all. It was a treacherous paper, a treacherous accord wrought with dishonesty and ulterior motives, an insincere conscience, a manipulation to move ahead, a plan of war to disarm the other party through peaceful negotiations and to take advantage of that peaceful settlement in order to attack. Now, all of this has really moved me greatly. And having returned from Israel a couple months ago, in which I was told by several gentlemen who attended and participated in meetings in Tel Aviv that over 300 Holocaust victims, those who come out of the Holocaust and suffered through a Jewish, very elderly, had received Yeshua as their Messiah. And, you know, I had also heard it said that a pastor and another woman had had a similar vision when asking, Lord God, where were you? Where were you in the Holocaust? What about all those people who perished? And Lord, they didn't know you. They didn't know Yeshua, your son, and the door to you, Father. They had a partial revelation of you. For that's how we perceive it, those of us who have a fuller availing in our hearts and our spirits of the Lord, God, the Creator, Father of all the universe. Anyhow, this pastor and this woman had visions of the Lord coming into all the gas chambers right before the people were dying. He appeared to them and he gave them an opportunity to receive him and eternal life. And this beautiful, beautiful Savior who was our Passover lamb, who was the burnt offering for all of our sins, was in the redemptive process. And there's all kinds of theology behind you know, that God permitted this to drive the Jews to establish them back in their homeland to fulfill end time prophecies. And this is probably so. And to revive a language that was dead, because he is the God that can bring out of the graves and the ashes the bones of his people and put them back together and give them a name, because the gifts and callings are without repentance. And this Holocaust that's coming, there's one that has been, there's one that's coming again. Who knows? Is this the Isaiah 17, Ezekiel 38, 39? However, Malachi, you know, I will take them through the fire, the sons of Levi, and purge them. Two-thirds shall perish, and one-third shall be left. And then they shall give to me an offering in holiness and righteousness. But let me just read this. Ezekiel 37, 17. Let's start at 16. And you shall come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. In the latter days it shall be, and I shall bring you against my land, in order that the Gentiles know me, when I am set apart in you, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus says the Master Yahweh, are you the one I spoke of in former days by my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied for years in those days to bring you against them? And it shall be on that day, on the day when Gog comes up against the land of Israel, declares the Master Yahweh. And it will come to pass at the same time when Gog comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury will show in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, and the beasts of the field, all creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down, the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. I will call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother, and I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. I will rain down on him, on his troops, and on the many peoples who are with them, flooding rain, great hailstones, fire, and brimstone. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. I'm going to read some prayers from a book. It's actually a siddur, the Book of Blessings. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's an exquisite little book. And I'm going to start with Holocaust and Heroism Memorial Day, which is actually 27th of Nisan. Remember, both of you, that which Amalek has done to us. Remember everything. Never forget. For as long as you live and pass it onward as a holy testament to the coming generations, that the Germans killed, slaughtered, and murdered us. From the last testament of Elchanan Iglais, head of the Judonot, in the, Kovno ghetto. The Israeli Knesset set the 27th day of Nisan as a memorial day for the Holocaust and heroism. The day begins at sunset and concludes the next day, when the first stars become visible. If the 27th of Nisan falls out on a Friday, Memorial Day is moved up to Thursday, and if it falls out on a Sunday, Memorial Day is commemorated the next day, Monday. It is a day of communion with the memory of the victims of the horrific Holocaust, the 6 million who were eradicated merely because they were Jewish, and the Jews, Jewish heroes who fought the Nazi tyrant, and a day of solidarity with the millions of survivors, orphans, and widows. Some recite special Kaddish and El Mahal Rechamin prayers on this day and light memorial candles at home. Here's the El Mahal Rechamin. O God, full of compassion, who dwells on high, the arbiter of justice for widows and the fathers of orphans, grant perfect rest upon the wings of your divine presence, among the heights of the holy and pure, who shine as the brightness of the heavens, to the souls of our 6 million brothers and sisters, the myriads and myriads of Israel, men, women, and children, who were murdered, suffocated, burnt, buried alive, and killed in very many cruel ways by the Nazis and their collaborators, who went to their eternal home for the sanctification of God's name. May they rest in Eden. Therefore, may the Master of Compassion enwrap them in the shelter of his wings forever and bind their souls in the bond of eternal life. God is their legacy, and may they rest in peace. And we will say, Amen. And then Yizkor, may God remember the souls of our brother Jews, the fallen and the heroes of the Holocaust, the souls of the 600 myriads of Jews who were put to death and killed and suffocated and buried alive, and the holy communities that were destroyed for the sanctification of God's name. May God remember their sacrifice, together with the sacrifice of all Jewish heroes throughout history. May God bind their souls in the bond of eternal life, the beloved and pleasant souls who never separated, neither in their lives nor in their deaths. May they rest in peace. And we will say, Amen. Holocaust and Heroism Memorial Day. Kaddish for the orphans. May his holy name be exalted and sanctified. Amen. In a world that he created according to his will. And may his kingdom be established, and may he sprout forth his salvation and bring his Messiah close. Amen. In your days, and then in the days of the entire house of Israel, speedily and soon say Amen. Amen. May his great name be blessed forever and evermore. It shall be blessed and lauded and venerated and raised up and uplifted and glorified and exalted and praised, the name of the Holy One. Blessed be he. Blessed be he. Amen. Above all the blessings and songs and praises and consolations that are recited in the world, and say Amen. Amen. May great peace from heaven and good life be granted us and all of Israel, and say Amen. Amen. He who makes peace in the heavens, may he make peace upon us and all of Israel. Say Amen. Amen. Now here's Memorial Day for the fallen soldiers of Israel's wars and victims of terrors. Yizkor. May God remember his loyal and courageous sons and daughters, the soldiers of the Israeli Defense Forces, and all the fighters of the underground and warring forces in the nation's campaigns, and all the members of intelligence and security and police arms who endanger their lives in the war for Israel's revival, and all those who were murdered both in and out of the land by terrorist murders. May Israel remember and be blessed with its seed and mourn for the luster of youth, the eagerness for heroism, the holiness of desire, and the self-sacrifice lost in the heavy battles. May the heroes of the wars of Israel, crowned with victory, be engraved in the heart of Israel throughout the generations. And on Independence Day, the 5th of Iyar, the Israeli Knesset has set the 5th day of Iyar, the day after Memorial Day, as Israel Independence Day. The 5th of Iyar is the day on which Israel's Declaration of Independence was signed, May 14, 1948, on the eve of the end of the British Mandate. Most of the prayers and thanks are recited in public, governed by various customs. There are those who recite the Shehecheyanu blessing and the full Hallel, together with a prayer for the welfare of the State of Israel. It is customary to fly the flag of Israel in a center place outside one's home and to share a festive meal with family and friends. I would now like to read this passage from Joshua, chapter 5:13. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked. And behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. And in a final conclusion, let me read Romans 9. "I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all the eternally blessed God. Amen. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children, because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls, it was said to her, 'The older shall serve the younger.' As it is written, 'Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated.' What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, 'I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion.' So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, 'For this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, that my name may be declared in all the earth.' Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens. You will say to me then, 'Why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will?' But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, 'Why have you made me like this?' Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but us also of the Gentiles, as he says also in Hosea, 'I will call them my people who are not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved.' And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' they shall be called the sons of the living God. Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel, 'Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth.' And as Isaiah said before, 'Unless the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we should have become like Sodom, and we would have been made like Gomorrah.' What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith? But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame.'" Now let's go to Romans 11, verse 23. "And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again." Who's that? the Jews who were cut off and not spared. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature, he's talking about the Gentiles, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, and that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all of Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. And all of Israel will be saved. God bless you.
The kingdom of God, it's coming. The kingdom of God, it's coming. The kingdom of God, and I know. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen.
Ani omer lecha.
Amen,
amen, אני אומר לך שאם לא ייוולד אדם מן המים והרוח לא יוכל לבוא אל מלכות האלוהים.